Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, Mother's Day is a special Sunday. It's a time where we pause and we think about moms, and we wish people happy Mother's Day. But you know, for some, Mother's Day is a tough day. Maybe because there's a little pitfall or barrier that's between you and your mom. Maybe mom isn't alive anymore. Sometimes we look back on our histories with, you know, with a little bit of regret. Woulda, coulda, shoulda kind of thing. And we all have those things in all areas of our life. Maybe you're here and Mother's Day isn't easy because you don't know your mom. Maybe you never knew her. Maybe she was lost when you were at a young age, or maybe you were given up for adoption, or mom just kind of abandoned you. Maybe you grew up in a foster care or something like that, or with a relative. I want to remind you of something. You know, in our nature, we want to, obviously, we're kind of born with a desire to know our parents, know mom, know dad. It's made in us to know some type of stability. But I want to remind you of something. If you know, you didn't know mom, or mom was taken from you at a young age and lost or abandoned, or you just really don't know what a mom is. Maybe somebody was a mom to you, but it wasn't your biological mom. Maybe it was somebody in foster care, a relative, something like that. I want to remind you of something. Though that's important for us to kind of know where we came from, I want to share with you what's more important than where you and I came from. And that is where we're going. What's it profit a person to gain the whole world, or what's it profit a person to know where they came from and have that satisfied in their mind and heart and yet miss out on eternity? See, it's more important, I want you to grasp this, it's more important to know where we're going, because that's forever and that's eternity. I've been blessed. Mother who gave birth to me, I have known all my life. And she's still alive. And so there's certain things that some of you have experienced that I don't understand. I mean, mentally I can grasp it, but I don't know what it is to walk in your shoes. I'm a little bit acquainted with it, just from people who are, we've had relationship with or close to us, who grew up in a different manner or didn't know their mom, never knew their mom. I'm acquainted with it a little bit when I hear the stories from my mother, and not that she talks about it much, but the mother she was born to for a period of my mom's life, she didn't live with her mom. She lived with another lady, a lady named Greenwood, Mrs. Greenwood. And I've heard my mom talk a little bit, or I've asked a couple of questions, not to invade her privacy, but she shared with me a little bit. And then, of course, at one point in her life, she moved back home with her mom, and she was scared of her dad, because she was there for a while when dad wasn't around, because dad was away in Europe, because my grandpa was a military man, and came home. After she was born. So I know some of it secondhand, but close to me. So Mother's Day is a great celebration. And we don't want to rob from anybody who's a mother. We want to honor you. But for some, I know that there's a little bit of mixed emotions that can go with Mother's Day. But I want us to grasp, it doesn't matter that where we came from. It's who we're becoming and where we're going that is the surety and the faith and the future. And I'm sorry if there's some things in your history that are unanswered or a mystery. But don't let your future and your relationship with God in eternity be a mystery. That can be known through faith in Jesus Christ and the surety of a future and eternity. And so I want to mention that to you this morning. Not out of forget your past and it's not important. What I'm telling you is there's something that's even of a higher priority. And that is who we know and our Father in heaven and an eternity with Him that we can gain. And so keep that in mind. And that His grace is sufficient for all of us, no matter what we face. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at a few different verses. And Proverbs chapter 23, we're going to read a verse here and there from Proverbs and one from Psalms. And first part of this is for all of us in this room. It's not just for mothers, because all of us are the child of somebody. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're the child of somebody. Yeah, you're the child of somebody. Whether you knew them or not, you are a child of somebody. You did not just appear, okay? You are not Adam and were created initially by God's spoken word from the dust of the earth, though we are the seed of that. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 25. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. I have that question in my mind. I think, you know, is my mother still glad? I mean, I know she was glad when I came out. Because my mom was very, very petite when she was 20 years old and gave birth to me. She was a very petite girl. And I was 9'5". In fact, my dad, you know, back then, you know, kind of naive with, you know, they didn't even let men in the birthing room, which my dad started out in there, and the nurse noticed he was getting real white and said, would somebody just get him out of here? So my, you know, rough, tough, hard-nosed dad couldn't hack it. I could all four times. Take that, Dad. Big sissy he is. I can say that. He's not here today. You know, kind of naive back then. In fact, because my mom was so petite and it was natural childbirth, though being as large as I was, really, they say that I could not sit up for, oh, it was like over a year. You put pillows all around me. I was just, I know I don't look like that. No. She had a wipe under, I had rolls of stuff, and skin would get all, it would, could. In fact, as I could learn to sit up, and they were, because, you know, they had to do milk supplement real fast with me, because, and in fact, it took her and someone else, because they couldn't keep up when I was in the high chair on baby food, it took two of them to, that's the truth. One would, you know. So that should have been a sign that I eventually would become a Pentecostal because we like to eat. Dad was pretty naive. I know my mom was glad when I came out, because when my father was brought back in and he looked at me, my head, you know what's coming. I've never seen the movie, but I've heard or saw like a clip or something on TV and heard people talk. Do you remember the Coneheads? You know, they had this big point. And obviously, God knows what he's doing. He makes the skull's not even closed and fully developed, and it's real soft and all that on a baby when the baby's born. And my head was like a cone. My mom was petite, and I was large, and that's just what happens. And my dad came in and looked at me. No, he did. He thought something was wrong. And, of course, back then, you know, your general practitioner, your doctor kind of did everything, you know. They weren't, you know, a bunch of OBGYNs and stuff back then. And so he just kind of did everything. And his name was Dr. Williams. And my dad said, Doctor, is he always going to look like this? You know, you think they would have had health class back then or something, but it just, you know. And so the doctor laughed and said, nah, he'll be relatively normal. So my mother was glad when I came out, and they were excited, and they were happy, and all of those things. The way new parents are. Grandma, I want you to know, with your new little grandson, you don't even have to listen to me this morning. But you don't have to. You just zone in the little Lucas. You got total permission. The rest of you don't. And as time goes on, you know, we have these babies. And then we realize, you know, they make a mess. This little girl will make a mess. And they cry, and you get tired, and things are inconvenient. And at the beginning, it's excitement and adrenaline and all of that. And over time, some of that goes away, but you're committed to your child. And as time goes on and they develop and they get older, you know, life happens. And they become their own person. I remember discovering as the children grew, they become their own person, that they develop opinions that are different than mine. How dare they? You know. And they develop their own humor and their own tendencies and personalities. And I did the same growing up. And I know there's moments where my mom probably was not all that proud of me. Where I made mistakes. Where I disappointed. You know, and I wonder, as in the big scheme, in the picture of things, not as a pastor, not as a husband, not as a dad, but as a son, a child of the mother who gave me birth. Is she still happy? Is she still happy? You know, all of us have to kind of ask that question, because it's a statement of not just have I pleased my mother, but have I become a person that my mother could be happy about? You know, the thing is, moms and dads are real happy over achievements and maybe titles and stuff like that. But you know what? They want to just know that we're a quality person, and it doesn't take a title or some great accomplishment or fame to be a quality person. Isn't that what we want most for our kids? I want you to know it's the same thing for our parents or from our mom. Are we good sons? Are we good daughters? Who have we become? Can we be someone that our mother is still happy about giving birth to? This sounds extreme, but, you know, we don't want them to curse the day we were born. And so we grow up with this, a little bit of an innate, natural thing that God has put in us to make a parent happy, make a parent proud. And I don't know that that's a bad thing. I think that can be a good motivator. It can't be the only motivator. But I think part of that is a good thing, that our mom would be happy in who we've become. Now, maybe our mom has different values. Maybe our mom, who, you know, obviously has some age to her already, maybe the wounds of life have kind of warped the way she looks at you or the way she treats you. Because mom probably carries her own pains too. You know, our moms aren't perfect. Our dads aren't perfect. Our Father in heaven is. And His grace and mercy that He sheds upon our life, we should be able to in turn shed that grace and mercy towards our parents. We always expect more from the generation before us. We always expect more from our parents. Like, you know what? They should be the grown-up. They should come and say sorry first. They should, you know, apologize when they're wrong. They should, you know, they're supposed to be the mature one. But you know what? We're without excuse when you're a believer. We're supposed to be setting an example regardless of our age. And so I don't know what your history is with your mom, but if she's still alive, why don't you do something to make her happy today? And not just today because it's Mother's Day, because it doesn't just say, hey, you know, hope she's happy once a year with you. As a believer, we want to live within the appropriate responsibility of bringing pleasure to our mom. And that's, of course, within appropriate reason. It doesn't mean that if mom is, you know, she's really kind of, because of her life, her view is sometimes distorted. It's not based on truth, and it's some unrealistic thing. We have to love them enough to be kind to them, but love them enough to give them opportunity to be glad over how we treat them and what we've become as a person. It doesn't mean that we do anything when it's a distorted view and demand or something illegitimate from our parent. But you want to honor them. One of the best ways that we honor our parents is not in just what we tell them, but the best way to honor our parent is by the person that we become. The old saying that the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. We want to be good fruit to lend a credibility to our parent, to help give them a good name or keep a good name. We have to live with that responsibility. If your parent was oppressive and your mom exasperated you, I'm sorry. Don't become what you hate in your own home. But do your best to honor your mom and dad. And God gives a promise that says He'll give you good long life. That is a responsibility that we had that is not based upon our parents' performance. It's based upon the quality of our faith in Christ to honor mom and dad, whether they were good, bad, indifferent, or nuts. You can chuckle, it's okay. You know, Proverbs chapter 1, and we don't have to look there, but Proverbs 1, there's a verse that says, remember your father's instruction and don't forsake the teaching of your mother. Three of my children are here this morning, one married and expecting their first. I want to tell my three children something who are here. Don't forget the instruction of this old man. And don't forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them around your heart. Wear them like a tablet, like a necklace. Because mommy and daddy aren't going to always be there, geographically. And one day, if God tarries, I'll have my turn to leave this earth. And the only thing that I will have left you other than $10. Are the words that you heard and the action and the experiences that you remember that came in the way of instruction, that came in the way of teaching. We're not perfect, you three, as you know. Your mom has a lot of faults. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It was just getting too quiet in here. We have our faults. We want to be able to say, do as we do. And I'm grateful by God's grace that sometimes we can say, do as we do. Other times, please do as we say, even if you see an inconsistency in us. When that instruction and that teaching is based upon God's word, for He is stable and He is the same. He does not change. I want you to know our parenting's not done, but I also want you three to hear this. We're grateful for who you're becoming. And I'm happy still for the day that you were born. And Justin, you're my son-in-law. I give thanks to God that you found Brittany and that you were smart enough to marry her. What kind of child are we? You know, it's tough on days as a parent when there's some days all you feel like you're doing is correcting. It's exhausting for us because our relationship does not consist of just correction. Maybe that's how you grew up. I want you to know that that is not the basis of a relationship. Correction goes so much better when there's a relationship that's developed. Not just out of title of father or mother and child, a son or daughter, but out of relationship. And there's days where, you know, I remember growing up, it was like, gee, you know, can I do anything right today? You know, you ever have those days? I mean, I still have them, but, you know, my mother and father aren't around to, you know, get on my case, so to speak. You know, and there's days you feel like that, and so you let some things slide. Not that our life threatening, but you let a few things slide because you know what? You don't want to exasperate the child. Paul writes that, don't exasperate your children. There's got to be relationship, and you know what? They're having a tough day, and don't you remember having some yourself and how you want it to be treated. And yet we have the responsibility to bring correction. I want to speak to every one of us in this place, but especially those of you who still live at home with a parent or with a grandparent. I want to read you this. It's in Proverbs chapter 12. I used to read this as a youth pastor. I used to read this and quote this. We would get together and we would have two busloads of teenagers. And we had basically everything loaded, and then I'd bring them into like the lobby of the church before we leave for a retreat or a big outing, and we're excited, and they're all pumped up, and they're just, you know, crazy. Already drinking 2-liter Mountain Dews and candy bars, and you know what that's going to do. I mean, they're just wired and ready to go. And here you are, responsible with a handful of leaders, a couple handful of leaders taking, you know, two bus fulls packed with kids away for 2.5 days. I mean, you want to see parents happy? They barely slow down to let their kids out. I'm sure what youth retreat was probably the parents' favorite time. And we're there in the lobby. And I would make them repeat this verse, okay? It's Proverbs chapter 12. I'll tell you what verse afterwards because I just want you to listen to it. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. And then the second part is really the part I had them repeat and quote with me time and time again before we'd leave to get on that bus. He who hates correction is stupid.
Proverbs chapter 12, the second part of the verse, verse 1. It says, he who hates correction is stupid. Now, we grew up in the house where we didn't say stupid, you know. And that's what we taught our kids. We don't say stupid. Then, you know, once in a while, I would say the word stupid. And they were just little toddlers. They go, oh, you said stupid. We don't say stupid. Mom, Dad says stupid. He who hates correction is stupid. Listen, this is for every one of us in this room, by the way, because all of us need correction. I need correction. God's word, it says, his word is breathed and it's there to reprove us, rebuke us, correct us, instruct us. This is not about pride and arrogance. This isn't about trying to win the argument. It's about taking correction because the wounds of a friend can be trusted. The wounds of a parent in the way of correction can be trusted. Those of you who still live at home with a parent or a guardian or a grandparent, I want you to remember Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, part B. He who hates correction is stupid. That's foolishness. It may not make sense to you now. You may not totally agree with it. But you know what? Lock it away somewhere. Because if you are a child and you want to please your parents and you want them to be happy still after years have gone by for the day that you were born, then you're going to have to learn to say, you know what? I need correction. I need correction. Would you say it with me in this room? Everybody say, I still need correction. You want your parents to be pleased with the day that you were born? Then accept correction and discipline. Even those of us who have our own kids. They say that wisdom is supposed to come with age. Well, if we're wise, then we'll still take correction. I do not want to be... I can't do anything about being old. I'm going to be old. God give me breath and long... I'm going to be old. But I don't want to be old and stupid. Everybody said... Amen. Has a lot to do with the way we respond to our parents' discipline and correction. And every one of us are the child of somebody. I want to talk to mom just for a moment. Psalm 139, verse 13. Because this is about parenthood. This is also being about a child. It's about honoring moms, but it's also realizing that, you know, we're the child of somebody. But look at this for moms. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Women, some of you young women, not mothers yet, hope to be married and hope to have a child. Some of you have already had children, still raising them. Some of you are empty nesters. I want you to stop for a moment and understand that inside you is still a creative place where God does his creative, artistic, supernatural, miraculous work. The psalmist says, in my mother's womb is where I was shaped and I was formed and I was created. My inmost being. It wasn't just a body development. You know, we notice the body because your body changes and you glow. It's not just about a physical thing, but the inmost being of this person within you. God's creative work, the way he made it. Do you understand, women? You understand the gift that God said within a woman,
I am going to keep a creative place. You think about creation in the beginning, where God spoke things into existence and they took form, they took shape, and they appeared and they happened, and they continue to be perpetual as time goes on. That within a woman, God has created a place for him to do his best work, his handiwork. I don't want you to lose the value of that. Even if your birthing years are over and you have had children, do you understand what God has placed within you? Where his creative work, his miracle takes place. I want you to know something. We as men will never know that. Granted, you know, the whole birthing thing, hey, glad I'm a man. Been there, seen it. Watched it. Thank God I'm a man. That's just how I feel. Okay, I'm not arguing about God with that role in my life. Oh, why didn't you make me a woman? I want to get, you know, No. I'm cool with it. I accept your will. I submit to it. I'm happy. Okay? But there is something that I will never know. I do not hold within me the creative workshop of God. His supernatural work of knitting together. A work in God's workshop, this place where he makes the inmost being. He develops the soul. He puts a spirit. He makes his body. Women, blessed are you among all creation. It's a gift of God that is within you. And that God created you with. I'm sorry, it sounds crude to call it a workshop, but that's really what it is. It's where God develops, makes this inmost being. And when you think about, you know, where's God in my life, or I don't feel God, or, you know, did God really create, or is it evolution, all these different things. When you're a woman, you still hold the creative workshop of God within you. The ability where he still creates. And he brings forth little Lucas's. Man, what a good looking little baby. Oh, Josh, praise God, you and I can say they look like their mothers. Yeah, everybody's saying hallelujah, yeah. You have the creative activity, the creative action from God within you. Don't lose sight of the value and how God made it and how God has favored you amongst all creation. I'm sorry there's pain in childbearing, but you deserve it. Okay, so we're good. Hey, you settled down. Yeah, the letters are going to come in this week. I'm kidding you. The reality is we deserve it. We were born into sin in the days of Adam. We worked the ground. There'll be pain in childbearing. And I wish it wasn't the case. But it's amazing, as I talk to moms over the years, they still have more. My wife, it was not easy having Brittany come into the world. We're talking 24 plus hours of hard labor, most of it. And she was born with a cord around her neck. We're blessed that she's healthy today, that a doctor was good enough to take care of things. And Yet Sue had three more. And it was all her idea. So hallelujah. Okay. Blessed are you women among all creation. Proverbs chapter 14. I want to close with this verse this morning. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Now we can all take truth from this for our own life, for we all contribute. But women especially, you. The wise woman builds her house. But with her own hands, the foolish one tears her house down. I remember in insane time of my life, it was before I came here, I was pastoring and I took on the challenge of building a home. I general contracted it. I did have some contractors do some things. I did most of it myself, with a hand from some other kind people on occasion when they could help. It was just a simple ranch home with a completely finished basement and then a garage that was 28 feet by 56 feet. Oh, dude, it was sweet. Three stalls, little workshop. A three-piece bathroom with camouflage paneling and Hunter Orange in the back. Oh, yeah! Standing shower stall, toilet, sink, and then there was a man room. Much of the stuff that you see in my office on the wall was in that room because those are the things that my wife doesn't allow in the house. She likes the shaggy chic, or junk. And I'm kidding. She likes taking old, used, mismatched stuff and making it a home, and she's good at it. That's all stuff that doesn't fit that. You know, she doesn't want broadheads and arrows and pictures of dogs and John Wayne hanging on her walls in the house. But I remember it's insane time of life, pastoring a church and raising a family and building a house. And I remember what I had envisioned in my mind. I could picture things. It's just the way that my mind works. I could envision these things. I could explain them to people or explain it to Sue. And she'd go, uh-huh. I guess once you build it, I'll get to see it. You know, just because I could picture these, how things were going to lay out, and where the plumbing had to run, and where the electrical had to go, and where I needed to place the walls, you know, the stud walls, and the measurements, and how to keep things square, and to do this, and how far in the garage this wall would be, and then the man room and still have room for all the, you know, and all these different things, and how I could make a bathroom in the lower level for my three daughters. It was a three-room bathroom. Okay, there was this, you walked in and there was a double vanity and a mirror and outlets for all the apparatuses. I never knew what they were. And then behind them were two doors. One led to the shower room and another door led to the toilet so they could all be in there together. Because I didn't want any of them upstairs. Bathrooms are premium, you know that. And I could vision this stuff and built it accordingly and had this plan. I mean, I sketched some things out, obviously, but it was here. I could envision it. I was going to build the house and the bedrooms and bathroom and garage and all. You know, all of that, just I could see it. I think about that, and it started with a plan. I couldn't just show up and say, well, I'll just buy some lumber just get some lumber and, I don't know, let's just start here. Let's throw this board down here and, well, let's take that board and put it here and let's just kind of see what, you know what that would have looked like without a plan? Not all of our plans come to fruition, and there's little changes along the way. But it says here that a wise woman builds her house, and with her own hand she can tear it down. When it comes to building our house or building our home or raising our children, what is it that you envision? Do you have a plan? Are you just going to kind of fly along each day and, whatever happens, happens. I mean, we can't plan everything. And we know the plans of man, can go right to the wayside. We want to follow the Lord. But what is it you envision to build your family, to raise your children? We have to have a focus. We have to have a plan. I mean, we have been given the great architect's book here in the Bible of the principles to hold to, the principles we envision. It's interesting that it says the foolish woman can tear down the house with her own hands. That we all have the ability to be destructive. Some of us probably grew up in homes where we feel like there was more destruction done to our life than building. Maybe you grew up with a parent who was critical or negative, or they rarely said, I love you. They rarely showed you affection, verbal or physical. Maybe where you were an inconvenience and you grew up like that. I want you to know this morning as you hear this, you are no longer with an excuse for who you've become because of that. I know that sounds harsh, and we will have to overcome some things, but listen to this. Once we know the truth, we cannot use the way we grew up as an excuse anymore. When we know the truth, and we come into contact and faith with Jesus Christ, and we begin to learn how to live in the person we need to become. That's just the truth. We can't say, this is what my mother did. This is how my mother was. And those traits may be in you, and it doesn't matter if you're a man or woman here, those traits could be in us. You know what? We're without an excuse when you know the Lord. And we grow in our faith because we're to look at Him and His grace and mercy towards us and His character being built in us. He builds His house. He does not tear His house down. And we have the ability, whether we are call ourselves Christian people or not, we can be very destructive in our own homes and with our own children. And we need to recognize, what is it we envision for our children to become? And I don't mean what they're going to become. They're going to become a doctor or a lawyer or an attorney or this or that. What do we envision them to become as the quality of a person? How do we help build that in them? How do we invest in them rather than destroying them? We can't be obsessed with trying to make them perfect so they won't embarrass us. That can't be the motive. The motive is that they become a quality person. I remember the children when they were young and I discovered that they can scream in public places and in a grocery store. And when you have one, big deal. You just kind of handle it. You got two, three, four, under the age of four, and you got two shopping carts. One's for children. The other, If we didn't allow ourselves to be embarrassed at the beginning so that they would understand, we're not giving in to this. I'll be embarrassed for this moment, but you're not going to do this again because this does not mean you're going to get your way. So going to the grocery store became easier because they knew that crying, screaming, and falling on the floor like they passed out is not going to make me stop. It might make me swerve around you with the carts, but we're going. You mean you're going to leave me here at aisle four? Pretty much. Don't think that I won't pat your bottom in public. Hoof! You know, well, we were careful because people can misinterpret that in the world in which we live. Because they don't believe in, you know, the rod. They believe in making the child rotten. See, spoiled doesn't mean you get everything. Spoiled means that we are going to let you rot and be a rotten person. You're going to spoil. Mm-mm. My children may not be bright because they come from me, but I'm going to make sure they're not stupid and they know how to take correction. We have to build our home. We don't have to tear it down. We got to build our home. And if we're not careful, we can slip into destroying our home, destroying our own children, the ones we were so happy to bring home. The ones who we loved and they cooed and we yoo-hoo-hoo. If we're not careful, we can tear down our own home, and yet we had a vision of building something great in who they are. We have to find out what it is. And God's book, His word to us, is filled. And the greatest thing that we can do is teach them how to have a relationship with God. By allowing them to see it, not just having our Bible open and praying, but how we live it, and build them, encourage them, that they can have that on their own before they leave their home. The wise woman builds her house. The foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Maybe that's the home you grew up in. You do not have to repeat your history. Not in the Lord. You do not have to repeat your history. You don't have to become the things you hate. You don't have to become the things that you were taught. We're without an excuse. We have been given His word. God is for us. We can know Him. And guess what? We can begin to build a house like God builds the house. You think God's out to destroy you? God's out to build you. That's why it says He is faithful to complete the work He started in you until the day of salvation. That's what His word says. So if that's what my Father does, my Heavenly Father does for me, then I in turn have to be like Him and be that same kind of father. Mothers, you're the same kind of mother. That's how your Father in heaven treats you, to build you. Then we want to build and complete it in our children. We're a child of somebody. And if we have the privilege of being a mom in this place, build your house. Don't destroy it with your own hands. What have you envisioned? What has God given you for your children?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.